John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea."
I think a round of applause. Well done. Thank you. Some mean names at the end there. But they're the names of the churches that were written to, these seven churches. And in fact, you can see them on the map here. So Patmos here is in an island in the sea, as islands tend to be. John is imprisoned there. And the letters Jesus writes to are to these seven churches, these blobs here, which Tim so helpfully read out to us just now. And we're going to see what Jesus, what does he write to them? But first of all, Jesus is the most awesome person ever. And at the start of each letter, Jesus says something about himself that is just amazing. He says, "I am this and I am that." And I want to just pick out a few of those things so we can see how awesome he is. And what I want you to do is, as we pick out those things, I want you to go, "Wow," because there's a big wow factor for each of these things. So should we practice our wows? Children, I want some really loud wows. After three, one, two, three. Wow! Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here's our first one. The first thing that Jesus says is, "I can see everything."
Wow!
Can't hear you. Come on, one, two, three.
Wow!
It's a lot better. It's a lot better. So look, he says, "I can see everything." Can you imagine that? He sees when you open your eyes first thing in the morning. Now, I know for me, that's not a very pretty sight. Sorry, I wasn't talking about my wife just across me in the bed. But if you were to look at me, it wouldn't be a very pretty sight. He sees when you walk downstairs and get your breakfast. He sees you when you get in the car or when you walk out to school or into work. He sees you when you're doing kind things, and he sees you when you're doing nasty things. He sees everything. There's nothing that Jesus doesn't see. And in one of the letters, that's what Jesus says. He says, "I'm the one who sees everything." Okay, he also says, what's our next one? Okay, the next one. Jesus says, "I am the one," you ready for a big wow? This needs to be a really big wow. "I am the one who beat death."
Wow!
It is amazing. It is amazing that Jesus did this. He died on the cross. He really died. He was buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, it's like death came unstuck. It reversed. And Jesus came back to life. And he was seen by his friends. Sometimes one of them at a time, or two of them, or a small group, or all of them. One time, over 500 people saw him at the same time, over a period of quite a long time. Jesus beat death. It's amazing. And in one of the letters, Jesus says that. "I'm the one who beat death." How cool is that? What about the next thing here? So here's the next thing. Ready for a big wow? He says, "I'm the one who is in control of the universe." Now, check this out. So here's our world, and Jesus is in control of everything in our world, but he's also in control of the whole universe. So even the bits of it that we don't even know about, that are so, so far away, we've not even discovered, he's in control of them. And then if you were to go into the middle of the ocean and go down as deep as you could ever go, where we've never gone before, he's in control of what goes on deep in the ocean. He's in control of what goes on in our country, believe it or not. He's in control of what goes on in our lives. Imagine getting a letter from him, from Jesus. Last thing. There's actually quite a lot of things, but just four here. And it's our last thing. Jesus says, I am the one who cares for and is with my people. Wow. Yeah. That is, I tell you why that's amazing. Because although he's in charge of everything, the universe, he beat death, he sees everything, he loves his people. And we can know him today as our friend. That is an amazing thing. And that is the Jesus who writes to us. Imagine getting a letter from him. Well, here's the thing. Although Jesus writes these letters to seven churches, actually, the Bible says they're written to us. So we have these letters from Jesus. And this morning, we're going to see what they teach us. We're going to pray now, and Anna's going to lead us in prayer. We're going to open the other letters in a moment. But first of all, the letter to the church in Ephesus. And Jesus says, repent, because you say and do the right things, but you don't really love me. So look, here we go. Here's Ephesus here. Looking pretty cool. Saying and doing all the right things. Actually, this is like someone who might even go to church, might even pray, and says lots of good things, and looks pretty good on the outside, but don't really love Jesus. So on the inside, there's not real love for Jesus. And you know, that might be one of the things for us here, that we say and do the right things. People, if you looked in on our lives, we look quite good. But in our hearts, we're not really loving Jesus. In fact, Jesus gave an illustration of this, of having a very clean cup on the outside, but in the inside, when you looked inside, where your drink is, it's all dirty and moldy. So it looks right on the outside, but it's not on the inside. And we can be like that, not really loving Jesus. And do you know, to repent means we go, oh, Jesus, give me a heart of love for you because of what you've done for me on the cross. And that's what needed to happen to the Christians in Ephesus. Now, we're going to go to our next letter. And it is the letter to, what are we on? Pergamum. We've got Pergamum.
This one says, thank you, Rosie. Repent. Everyone calls you Christians, but many of you are behaving like people around you for an easy life. That was what Jesus said to the Christians in Pergamum.
So imagine it, if you were a Christian there, what was going on was that actually people thought these people were Christians. They were called Christians, they were known as Christians, but actually, as it says here, they were behaving, their behavior was just like the world around them. And here's how I think it can happen for us. It might be that because you go to church, people around you, maybe at school or in the workplace, think you're a Christian. But what's your behavior like? What's my behavior like? Because it's so easy, isn't it? So if people are gossiping or telling lies, and the easiest thing to do is to gossip or tell a lie, it's easy just to do that, isn't it? Like the world around us. And for our behavior to be just like everyone else, rather than being like Jesus' behavior. And that can show in the way we spend our time, we spend our money, what we love, what our ambitions are, that our behavior needs to change. And so we need to repent. Here is someone here who's looks like a Christian, maybe, I don't know, what does a Christian look like? but actually it's not really behaving like one. Thinks they're okay, but they're not. And so we need to repent of that, make sure that that our behavior, where we're living, is actually as Jesus would want it to be. And so he calls us to repent. Great, so the next letter is to a church in a place called Thyatira. Let's get out Thyatira.
Okay, it says, thank you, Aaron, repent. You do many good things, but you have been listening to people who don't teach what is true. That's what Jesus said to the Christians in Thyatira. Thank you, Aaron.
Great. Well, do you remember Pinocchio? Pinocchio, when he tells lies, his nose goes long. And the Christians in Thyatira, they were believing lies. So they were kind of doing quite good things, but they'd started to listen to people that were telling lies about God. And so for us, it might be people around us are telling lies about the Bible, saying the Bible can't be trusted, it's not true. And maybe you've started to believe that lie. Or maybe it's that you've started believing the lie that God is not good. Maybe because of the things that have happened in our world or in your life, you've started to believe the lie, and perhaps God's not good. And we need to repent of that, says Jesus. And we need to believe what is true. That the Bible is true. We can trust it. What Jesus says is right and true. And God is good. And so we trust him. So to repent means to stop believing the lies that are being told us by the world around us and to believe what God's word says about what is true. Great. So next we have the church in Sardis.
Okay. Jesus says to the Christians in Sardis, repent. Everyone thinks you are great Christians, but actually it's like you are sleepy and don't care about living my way. That's to the Christians in Sardis. Thank you, B.
Jesus got some serious messages, hasn't he, to these churches? So here are Christians who, well, everyone thought they were Christians, thought they were doing okay, but actually they were sleepy. So I wonder if this is a bit like if, here we go, here's a sleepy person. Is this a bit like saying, well, yeah, I follow Jesus, but I kind of sometimes go to church, sometimes don't. Sometimes read the Bible, sometimes don't. Sometimes pray, sometimes can't be bothered. So it's not being really serious about putting Jesus right at the very center of our lives and revolving everything around that. Being a bit apathetic, kind of following Jesus, but not really going for it as a Christian. And Jesus says, you've got to repent and follow me with all of your heart and put me right at the center of your life. We've got one more letter that is saying to repent, and it's to the church in Laodicea.
So this is to Christians in Laodicea. Jesus says, repent. You think you are fine trusting your riches, but you don't realize you need to trust in me. Thank you, Noah. That's what Jesus says to the church in Laodicea.
And you know, this is a really easy one to do, to actually just be like the world around us, living for the things we have, our money, our possessions, our toys, our gadgets, our houses, our cars, our education, our career, all those things, important things, but those to be the main things we live for and the things we're actually really trusting in and are most important to us. And Jesus says, do you know what? You really, really need to trust in me, not in those things. And he calls us to repent, to turn around from trusting in our stuff and our good lives and the things that we have to trusting in Jesus alone. Well, can we have our keeping going letter up for Smyrna? And, you know, so there were two churches. In the seven churches Jesus wrote to, there were two churches that Jesus doesn't say repent to. Instead, he says carry on. He says keep going. And the Christians in Smyrna, the thing for them was it was really, really hard to be a Christian. So we've had a fun keeping going thing there. But, do you know, the Christians in Smyrna, what Jesus says, you are suffering for being... Whoop. Ooh. Got it. Just caught it. You are suffering for being Christians, but don't be afraid even of death. So, do you know, for them being Christians, some of them were being killed or about to be killed. And Jesus says, keep going, even if you face death. And, you know, it's great that we can meet here freely this morning, but there are Christians all around the world who it's scary to meet like this, or they can't meet like this because they might get arrested or put in prison. And so we want to pray for those Christians. But also for us, maybe at school or in your workplace, you get laughed at for being a Christian, or people think it's a silly thing to believe. So we can also get given a hard time, not perhaps like the Christians in Smyrna or some Christians around the world today, but it can still be difficult to be a Christian today here in the UK. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, carry on, keep on following me. Now, there's one letter to open up here. It's Christians in Philadelphia. So it says, let's read it. It says, keep going. You may feel people aren't listening, but carry on telling them about me. So for these Christians in, thanks, Maddie, in Philadelphia, they would had lots of opportunities to tell people about Jesus, but people weren't interested. And you know, that might be how you feel today. You want to tell people about Jesus, but so many people aren't very interested in hearing. Some are, but lots aren't. And that can be quite discouraging. And Jesus says to his church, carry on telling people about me because they really, really, really need to know about me. So here we go. The last letter to people who are trying to tell others about Jesus. Do you know, we need to carry on turning from our sin and trusting in Jesus for forgiveness, but also to live for him. And Jesus promises wonderful things, amazing things to these churches who he says, keep going. But also, he promises wonderful things to all seven churches if they'll repent and put their faith in Jesus and persevere and carry on having faith in Jesus. Now, there's a lot I could say about what he promises. I'm just going to give you a couple of things as we finish this morning. And these are amazing things. He promises, first of all, in the life to come, no more death. Remember we saw earlier, Jesus beat death. Now, because Jesus beat death, it means if we follow him, in the future, in Jesus' future, in the new heaven, new earth, there's no more death. It's an amazing thing, amazing promise. No more sadness, no more saying goodbye to loved ones. He also promises this. For those who repent, who turn from their sin and put their trust in him and go on doing that, that they'll be happy with Jesus forever. Jesus is the most wonderful person. We saw that right at the start. And it means that in the future, we'll be happy with him forever and ever and ever. We repent and go on trusting in him. And another thing he promises, this is amazing, this one, that in the future, his people will rule with him. We're meant to rule over God's creation now, to be in charge of it, to use it well. And in the future, God's people will rule God's creation perfectly and be in charge of that new world, that new heaven, that new earth, with Jesus ruling under him. So it's a place of purpose and doing exciting things. And then lastly, it's a place where it's a promise Jesus gives here of being safe with him forever. Do you know, my guess is your parents, your children, adults, you've got a set of keys in your pocket. You won't need keys in the new creation because no one breaks in, no bikes get stolen, no doors get knocked down. It's a place of being safe with Jesus forever. And Jesus promises all those things for people who will turn from their sin, who repent and put their trust in him. And so the question for us this morning is, well, here are some ways that we need to repent, ways that we need to carry on. So the question is, are you repenting? Are you turning around, putting your faith in Jesus, and are you carrying on putting your faith in Jesus?